السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهديه الله تعالى فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله، وأن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and glory belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we seek His help and His guidance and His pleasure. And we turn to Allah and Allah alone, seeking forgiveness for our sins. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for His protection from the evil whispers of our souls and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomever Allah azza wa jal chooses to grant the gift of guidance, no one can take it away. And whomever Allah azza wa jal in His perfect wisdom and justice misguides, no one can return to guidance. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah alone, without any partners, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a servant and his messenger. Just as we testify the most truest of words are the words of Allah, the great glorious Quran, and the best of guidance is the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah. And the most dangerous of matters are the newly added matters into this religion. For everything you add into this perfect and complete way of life involves removing something else. That's why he warned us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, every newly invented matter, meaning in Islam, is a leading astray that only leads to the fire. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O people of Iman, O believers, have the taqwa of Allah. Keep your duty to Him in the manner that He deserves, and do not die except in a state of complete and total willing surrender to Allah, a state of Islam. I welcome my brothers and sisters to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to a gathering that Allah, I ask of Him to make it blessed, Allahumma ameen. And to make all of our actions righteous, and make them sincerely for His sake, and not allow anyone of His creation a share of our intentions, Allahumma ameen. Just to begin with a smile, I guess, the brothers asked me what was the topic for tonight's discussion. I told them a regretless Ramadan. A Ramadan without regrets. And then I received an email with a flyer that said a regretful Ramadan. So it's one and the same, inshallah, azza wa jal. We're in the sunnah of being optimistic, and it is the sunnah to be optimistic and to look on the bright side. I begin the talk by praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless for us what is left of the month of Sha'ban, and to permit us the length of life, not because we deserve it, but by His mercy, permit for us the length of life to reach the month of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. The month of Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, the month of gifts, the month of bounties and bursts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And I seek to study this evening with my brothers and sisters the manner to understand this forgiveness correctly and how it can be achieved. So if you will, we're studying the mechanics of Ramadan, or the mechanics of forgiveness itself, so that we can have a regretless Ramadan. We will receive from Ramadan what we're supposed to receive, and so that we won't have a regretful Ramadan. And a regretful Ramadan occurs to those that are delusional. They don't know how to understand Ramadan and the forgiveness that Allah bequests, He gives to His slaves in the month of Ramadan. It's a month of forgiveness. And for those of you writing, may Allah reward you. And may Allah further bless you and make you imams for this deen. Say ameen. Ameen. The least the brothers could do that aren't writing, say ameen for those writing. Ameen. May Allah grant us all sincerity. We're going to talk about forgiveness. One set of ahadith. And just so we understand these ahadith correctly, we're not delusional about Ramadan, I want to hug these set of ahadith with two other columns of ahadith. In the middle, for those of you writing, and all of these ahadith are all narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Keep it simple. In the middle, two ahadith, both in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whomever fasts Ramadan in faith and while seeking the reward, all his previous sins are forgiven, forgiveness. And the second hadith, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whomever stands up, meaning at night praying, in the month of Ramadan, in faith and while seeking the reward, all of his previous sins are forgiven. طيب. The third hadith, we're still in the middle. Column, this is only narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whomever stands up, meaning to pray, in ليلة القدر, the night of decree, in faith and while seeking the reward, all of his previous sins are forgiven. So it's the month of forgiveness. Chance upon chance for forgiveness. There's also a hadith in this column narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an. It was recorded in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and the Musadrak of al-Hakim. And the hadith is Hassan. That he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ. Disgraced is a person. He's making dua against him. Disgraced be the person who, من ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليه. The one that I mentioned in front of him and he doesn't say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, he says, a man, دخل عليه شهر رمضان ثم انسلخ عنه ولم يغفر له. A man who the month of Ramadan enters upon and then it leaves him, and he still hasn't been forgiven in it. How in the world can this be? This is the month of forgiveness. And the third, he says, من أدرك أبواه عنده الكبر أو أحدهما فلم يدخلاه الجنة. Whomever catches up, meets his parents while in old age with him, and he doesn't enter paradise by them, meaning through them. So this is the month of forgiveness, and woe to you if you're not forgiven. How can you possibly miss out? We want to understand how a person may miss out. On the right side of your page, the hadith is narrated by who? Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala in Sahih Muslim. Collected in Sahih Muslim. That he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الصلوات الخمس, the five prayers. والجمعة إلى الجمعة, and from جمعة to جمعة. ورمضان إلى رمضان, and from one Ramadan to the next. مكفرات لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. These are all expiators, meaning erasers, for all that's between them if the major sins are avoided. Understood? This is the correct way to understand the evidence of the Quran and Sunnah. You pull everything on the subject together and you see it in unison. And this is the view of the majority of the scholars, that the major sins are not forgiven by any good deed. By proof of this hadith, this hadith says what? The five daily prayers. And there is no act in Islam after the shahada that is more valuable in the sight of Allah than the five obligatory prayers. Bar none. This is by ijma', first of all, that the obligatory deeds outweigh any nafl deeds. This is ijma'. And this ijma' is based on the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah azza wa jal said in amidst the hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave never comes closer to me with anything more beloved to me than the things I made an obligation upon them. And the number one obligation within Islam is what? Salah. The obligatory salah is the great meaning what? You pray two rak'ahs in Fajr. Fard, right? Wherein you recite it. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. First rak'ah, second rak'ah. This is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to pray two rak'ahs nafl in al-masjid al-haram, where in the first rak'ah you recited al-Baqarah and the second rak'ah you recited Ali Imran. Understood? He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the five daily prayers. And jumu'ah to jumu'ah. And this is of the greatest of the acts. This is the holiday of the Muslims. And this is the main event of that holiday. It's a holiday. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this day of Jumu'ah is your Eid. It was narrated by Ahmad, rahimahullah. So do not fast on your Eid. From Jumu'ah to Jumu'ah. Jumu'ahs are a great reward all by themselves. Ahmad rahimahullah narrates in the hadith of Aws ibn Aws al-Thaqafi radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the hadith is authentic. It's mentioned by many of the scholars, all of them, Al-Iraqi, Hafiz al-Iraqi, rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Bani, rahimahullah, I believe in Hajar, many others. The hadith is authentic. The reason I'm saying that is the hadith is almost too good to be true. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من غسل واغتسل اليوم الجمعة, whomever washes his body and his head on the day of Jumu'ah. This is the meaning of the hadith. Other hadith clarify that. He says, and he comes early to the salah. And he walks and he does not ride. That's the third condition. And he comes close to the imam. He gets the closest possible spot without overcrowding and being obnoxious to people, right? And wadana min al-imam, comes close to the imam. Wastama'a wa lam yalg, and he listens and he's not distracted. It is written for him, for every step that he took, the actions of 1 year of praying their nights and fasting their days, for every step he takes. And every step you take towards the masjid that day, every step you get a year of fasting and a year of qiyamul layl. That's how great this is. And then Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. He said these things between them, they erase everything else if the major sins are avoided. So a person needs to come to terms now, need to spend perhaps half or less or more of this talk understanding what are these major sins. Make sure we're avoiding them. Because now we understand that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, whoever stands in the month of Ramadan, whoever stands in Laylatul Qadr, all his previous sins are forgiven, means what? If he avoids the major. A major sin is every sin. This is their collective description. Every sin, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says, that shows that the one that participates in it is frail in his commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is one that belittles the religion. مُسْتَخِفٌ بِدِينَ رَقِيقُ الدِّيَانَةِ. This is what Ibn Hajar rahimahullah defines a major sin as. How do you figure out what's a major sin and what's not a major sin? Because we need to figure it out. Why? Because these major sins, good deeds are not going to erase them. If we're participating in them, we have to make tawbah. We have to. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And repent to Allah, all of you, O believers, talking to the believers, so that you may attain success. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O people of Iman, make a sincere, genuine tawbah to Allah. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not make tawbah, whoever does not make tawbah, then they are the wrongdoers, they are the transgressors. Who did they wrong? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never that. They wronged themselves because they crossed the limits of the king. For they have, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever crosses the limits of Allah, he has wronged himself. So it's either you're one that repents or you're a wrongdoer. And these major sins require repentance. Jazakallah khairan. And repentance, in a word, is to regret what you did. And to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, apologize to Allah azza wa jal. And to have a determination not to return to the sin. Not to return to it, not to persist in it. And if the sin involves one of the rights of the children of Adam, you took money from someone, or spoke about the honor of someone, or you slandered someone, to seek forgiveness from that person. And do all that you can. You exhaust your efforts in that aim. This is what it means to repent. And repenting from the major sins, I don't mean when the month of Ramadan comes. This is another thing that may come to your minds. I don't mean just say, oh, astaghfirullah. No. The way you repent, perhaps you need to repent from it. I say 1, 2, 3, and possibly 4, and do all that sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and not before the month of Ramadan, before the next moment. Because the ulama also said, when Allah obligates a Muslim with something, and he doesn't put a time for it, he doesn't say pray at this time, the way it's done with salah, that means that he's obligated to do it at his earliest opportunity. And that's why we say that not just is tawbah fard, we say that delaying tawbah is a sin. Delaying repentance is a sin. Now repentance from the major sins, coming back to our subject. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said a major sin can be found from 5 things. A major sin can be found in the text, ayat or hadith, 5 ways. He says it's a sin that either it was called in the Sharia, meaning the text, Quran, Sunnah, a major sin, a kabira. Or number two, there was a had, a legal punishment prescribed for it in dunya. Or three, he says, or its doer was cursed. Or its doer was cursed. Curse is the person who does such and such. Or he was threatened with the fire. That's number four. He was threatened with the fire in an ayah or a hadith. And number five, its doer was condemned harshly. Yani, language that we don't normally see in an ayah or a hadith about this doer, we know that this is not a normal sin. It is nothing minor. And there is minor in comparison to the major, but in reality, nothing is minor. Because they can pile up, and we can come to that, inshallah, azza wa jalla, if time permits. So let's give examples. The first was what? It was named in the shara, in the sharia, a kabira, a major sin. Like what? Like the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. On behalf of Abi Bakrah, radiallahu ta'ala an, not a siddiq. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Shall I not inform you of the greatest of the kabair, of the major sins? He said, of course. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ. To set up equals to Allah azza wa jal. Right? At heart or in your action. To set up an equal to Allah. Shirk. He says, وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. And being cruel to the parents. I want you to check yourself this evening before Ramadan. It's enough of a crime that you appease your parents with a word or a flower in Ramadan, and then you go back for another year and you have to wait for another lecture. This is part of cruelty. You just moved Mother's Day from that day of the Gregorian calendar to Ramadan, and you've ignored your parents for the rest of the year. Shirk. وعقوق الوالدين. The narrator says, and he was laying down sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he sat up. And he says, أَلَا وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ. And indeed, false testimony. And indeed, false testimony. And he continued to repeat it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until we said, لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ. We wished he would be quiet. Meaning what? Out of sympathy for him. How worked up he was about this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't you dare testify the wrong way. Because he's your relative, or because this person, or that person, or you, it's for your advantage, or towards your disadvantage if you don't lie. And stay away from false testimony. Or another hadith, also in Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna min akbar al kaba'ir, there it is, indeed from the greatest of the kaba'ir, the major sins, an yal'ana al rajulu walidayh, is for a man to curse his parents. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, who would do that? I mean, this is something unheard of, even in Jahiliyyah, no one did it. Even in the pre-Islamic age, unfathomable, no one would do something like this. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man curses another man's parents, so he replies and curses his parents. That's how a man curses his own parents. By inciting others, riling them up to curse his parents. You son of a, you son of a. Understood? So what about the person that curses his own parents directly? Is of the greatest of the major sins. Number two, we said, or a legal punishment was prescribed for it in dunya. Like what? Help, guys, hurry. Hurry, I'm thirsty. You speak. Bismillah. Theft. Fornication. Killing. Huh? More. I have to finish the cup. Theft is stealing. No synonyms, please. Come on.
Jumping a signal.
A legal punishment, we mean in Islam. The brother said a red light.
Drinking alcohol.
Huh? Alcohol, ahsant. Slander. Slander, right? Qadf, to slander someone in their ancestry. This is of the major sins. The third we said was what?
False testimony.
No, the third of the five. Its doer was cursed. Let's skip that one, we'll come back to it. Threatened with the fire. Either illegal punishment prescribed in dunya, that's two. Threatened with the fire, that's three. Examples. In Sahih Muslim, from the Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, صِنْفَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَمْ أَرَهُمَا. Two types of people from the residents of the hellfire that I have never seen. Meaning some of the ulama said, what this means of Allah's bounties over the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he didn't have to see them in his life. Number one, he says, رِجَالٌ. Men. He speaks about tyrants sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَعَهُمْ سِيَاطٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. That have whips like the tails of bulls with which they whip the people. Ruthless tyrants. And we have seen it with our own two eyes. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second type, وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. And women that are clothed yet naked. Right? The woman, for example, that is wearing jeans. She's clothed. You don't know what color her skin is. But it's as if she's not. Every detail of her body is known from the waist down. Or the woman is wearing a tight blouse or a shirt. She's clothed. But it's as if she's not. Every intricate detail of her upper body is known and clear to everyone. There's no secret left for her husband. Right? He says, وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. And women that are clothed yet naked. مَائِلَاتٌ مُمِيلَاتٌ. He continues to describe them and says, they are ma'ilat, they sway. And they are mumilat, they cause others to sway, they tempt others, and take them away, and cause them to melt. رُؤُسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ. On their heads are like the humps of camels. And you see the different fashions now, and different ways they try to draw the attention of the opposite gender, and they say, what's the big deal? Why does a Muslim woman cover her hair, right? Why do you spend $400 on yours? If the hair is not such a big deal, why do you invest so much in it? They invest so much to have the latest fashion that stands out so that they can attract the attention. He foretold all of this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the many prophecies that he foretold, sallallahu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. He said about these two types, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. They don't enter paradise. وَلَا يَجِدْنَا رِيحَهَا. Nor do they even detect its fragrance. And its fragrance can be detected from such and such a distance. من مسيرة كذا وكذا. Such and such meanings from so far. You know, you say it's like, man, far, far. Beyond numbers, if you will. And another narration about another hadith, and the distance can be scented from a 40 years travel. When you're traveling to Jannah, walking nonstop without sleeping, 40 years before you arrive, you're going to start smelling it. These people will not. Or also in Sahih Muslim, from the Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thalatha, three types of people. لا يكلمهم الله, that Allah will not speak to. ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة, nor will He look at them on the Day of Judgment. ولا يزكيهم, nor will He purify them. ولهم عذاب أليم, and for them is a severe punishment. Remember we said the third category is what? Those that were threatened with fire. And for them is severe punishment, meaning the punishment of the fire. Who are these three types of people? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, malikun kathab. A lying king, or a king that is a liar. Wa shaykhun zanin, and an elderly man that fornicates. Wa a'ilun mustakbir, and a poor man that is arrogant. What do these three have in common? Tell me. What do these three have in common? Tafadhal.
They don't need to do it. Like, sheikh that commits zina, he's not young. You know, he doesn't have the energy.
Ahsant. These three, the drive to these sins is less in them than in everybody else. What does a king need to lie to his people for? Who's going to be able to do anything? But this is proof that he has betrayed his people. That's why he's worried and he lies. Even though in reality he has the power. And a sheikh, a zan, the elderly man that commits adultery, normally the older you get, the drive is less. This is proof, by the way, that the sin is greater for something when the drive for it is less. There's a long tangent here that we're going to refuse to take. And an elderly man that commits zina, and a poor man that is arrogant. What in the world are you arrogant for? Arrogance isn't accepted from anyone, but especially you. I mean, one of the main reasons for arrogance, a person has wealth. He has something to flash, something to talk down to people because of, something to make him falsely assume that he's on top of everybody else. So these are of the major sins. The fourth category, we said, its doer is cursed. Like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, when a woman heard him say, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّامِصَ, Allah has cursed the woman that plucks her hair. وَالْمُتَنَمِّصَ, and the one that allows the hair to be plucked. النَّامِصَ is the one that plucks. المتنمصة is the one that seeks that her hair gets plucked. والواصلة والمستوصلة, and the woman that lengthens her hair, and the woman that permit, the woman that lengthens hair, and the woman that permits that her hair be lengthened, extended. Different types of forms of what? Changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the woman heard Ibn Mas'ud say, she said, how could you say this? How could you curse such people? Where do you come off saying something like this? He said, why shouldn't I say it when it's in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She goes, she comes back to him, she says, I've read the book between the two leathers, meaning from cover to cover. I didn't find this in the Quran. He told her, if you read it, you would have found it. Did you not read? وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. This is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, this incident. Whatever the messenger comes to you with, the verse, right? Take it, and whatever he forbids you from, desist, stop. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Allah has cursed the woman that plucks, and the woman that gets plucked, and the woman that extends, and the woman that gets it extended, and the woman that does this to her teeth, and a list of these different types of cases. Those that are cursed. Also in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an, and it's narrated elsewhere, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'ana Allahu akil al-riba. Allah has cursed the one that consumes interest. Meaning what? He charges others and he accepts it, right? He consumes interest. وَمُوكِلُ, and the one that pays interest, who gets charged the interest and pays it. And its writer, the one who writes the contract for this transaction. وَشَاهِدَيْهِ, and the two witnesses that witnessed the contract and approved of it. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءِ, they are all the same in it. They are all cursed with regards to interest. Brothers, if you can move forward, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, some brothers maybe needing some room. So this was the fourth category of major sins, those which their doer has been cursed in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Lastly, the fifth, what was the fifth? Nadeem, don't answer, please. Someone else, give me the fifth. Guys, keep me breathing, please. What was the fifth category of major sins? We said number one, it was called a major sin. Number two, what was number two? A legal punishment is employed against it in the dunya. Number three, the doer was threatened with the fire. Number four, the doer is cursed. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. You're not reading from him, are you? Number five, its doer was condemned severely. Or the action was severely or harshly criticized. Like what, for example? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَطَمَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبُ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They are not from us. Whoa, they are not from us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disassociates from the kuffar. So for him to do that from a Muslim, you know that this is a person that has gone far off the path. They are not from us. Who? This hadith, there are many different hadith that are worded like this at the onset. He says the ones that slap the cheeks, you know, calamity strikes, somebody dies in the family, you object to Allah's qadr, his decree, and you slap your cheeks. وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ, and they, the jayb is the opening, the neck opening of the shirt, right? Or the garment. And they rip their garments, right? In frustration with Allah's decree. And they call with the calls of jahiliyyah. Oh God, why? And all this. They call with the calls of jahiliyyah. Another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Shuraih al-Khuza'i radiallahu ta'ala an, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, he doesn't believe. By Allah, he doesn't believe. By Allah, he doesn't believe. Who, Messenger of Allah? قَالَ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارَهُ بَوَائِقَ. The one who his neighbor is not secure of his harm. So harming your neighbors or frightening your neighbors, so long as in your power, you had anything to do about it or do with it, is a major sin. And this is a major sin from two angles. Here he says there, he says this person does not believe. And also this person was threatened with the fire as well, another hadith. So he applies in two of the five classifications. Ahmad and others, they narrate that they said, O Messenger of Allah, Inna fulana tasumu nahar. So and so, she fasts by day. وتقوم الليل, and she prays at night. وتفعل وتصدق, and she does. What she does, she does means what? She does and she does and she does, right? And she does many things. وتصدق, and she's constantly giving in charity. وتؤذي جارها بلسانها, and she harms her neighbor with her tongue. Foul speech. She's lewd. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا خير فيها هي في النار. There's no good in her. She's in the fire. They said, O Messenger of Allah, and there's a woman that prays her five, bare minimums, and she gives sadaqah with small bits of dry milk, and she gives it, that's all she does. قَالَ هِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She's in paradise. Why? The first one she did, she fasted and she prayed and she did and she did and she was charitable. She brought things on the Day of Judgment. She had capital. Alright, she made money. But her debts were more than her capital. So it came crashing down. Just like the other hadith, you know the famous hadith, who is the bankrupt person? They said, oh, Messenger, the one that doesn't have any wealth or any property. He said, the bankrupt person in my ummah is the one that comes on the Day of Judgment with salah and zakah and fasting. He comes with these things, meaning what? He did them in a manner that was valid, was correct, according to the sunnah perhaps, right? In an acceptable fashion. He comes with these things. And he has cursed this person and struck this person and taken the wealth of this person and spilled the blood of that person and slandered the honor of that person. So this person takes from his good deeds, and this person takes from his good deeds, and this person takes from his good deeds, until if his good deeds have ended before he pays back all that he owed, he starts taking from their bad deeds until he's thrown on his face in the fire. This is the bankrupt person in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the one that has harmed their neighbor. Also in Bukhari and Muslim, very important hadith. Narrated by Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. No one of you truly has iman until they love for their brother what they love for themselves. In another narration that's also authentic, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حتى يحب لأخيه من الخير ما يحب لنفسه. That he loves for his brother the good that he loves for himself. No, he gets cancer and he wants it for his brother too. No, this is not what's meant. He loves the good that he wishes to get, or that he has gotten and acquired and attained, to, that his brother gets it as well. But to envy, and to want to be distinguished, and to look down upon people and be separate and distinct from them, in the, this is a major sin. He is not from us. He does not have iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And this is not an easy task. Wallahi, this is not an easy task. This requires a great deal of combat within yourself. This is a jihad, and it needs you to constantly press your feelings back and to get in the habit of asking forgiveness for yourself and your brothers at the same time, and asking Allah to protect you from falling into the opposite. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, rahimahullah, the famous scholar of hadith, it was reported about him in his biography that he used to make in his dua a portion of time wherein he would repeat and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma sallimna wa sallim al-muslimina minna. O Allah, grant us safety and grant the Muslim safety from us. Don't bring harm our way and don't make us of those that bring harm to a Muslim's way. This is a matter that if you understood that its opposite is from the major sins, you would give it more dedication than you do. Understand what's at stake. That's why I want to define what the major sins are. They're saying we need to make tawbah and Ramadan is coming. Ya Allah, I'm sorry. As one of the salaf says, هَذَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. This way of seeking forgiveness, يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى إِسْتِغْفَارِ. You need to ask Allah forgiveness for it. forgive you for the way that you're asking for forgiveness. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Another hadith. Whomever cheats is not from us. So cheating, whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whoever you cheat, this is a major sin. The person that commits a major sin, he becomes fasiq immediately. Committing the major sin once. Fasiq meaning what? He's a flagrant sinner. Meaning he has no promise, no guarantee. If he meets Allah with that sin, that Allah will not punish him. This is why the sins need to be understood in detail and not have these superficial understandings of them. But there's something I need to add here, so long as we're listing major sins. Anything in reality can be turned into a major sin. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was narrated about him with an authentic chain that was collected by Tabarani and others, that they asked him, O ibn Abbas, the major sins, ahiya sab', are they seven? That's famous or prominent opinion out there, there's seven major sins. Even as a hadith it says, as-sab' al-mubiqat, the seven destructive sins, and it names seven particular sins. So he was asked, are the major sins seven? قَالَ هُنَّ إِلَى السَّبْعِينَ أَقْرَبُ. He said, it is closer to 70. What are you talking about, seven? Seven? He said, it is closer to 70. Wait. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ. Except that. He says, لَا كَبِيرَةَ مَعَ استغفار. There is no such thing as a major sin, so long as you seek forgiveness for it. Istighfar here means tawbah. And they're interchangeable most of the time. He says, but there's no such thing as a major sin with tawbah. وَلَا صَغِيرَةَ مَعَ إِصْرَارِ. And there's no such thing as a saghira, a minor sin, when you're persistent in it. So a person that commits a major sin becomes fasiq immediately. And the person that persists in a minor sin, that becomes major. And this is by two ways. First of all, we said the definition of a major sin is what? In the beginning, remember I said Ibn Hajar said, major sin, what kind of sin is it? It's a sin that puts you under the impression that the person that did it is weak, he's fragile in his commitment, and he belittles the deen. Remember we said that? And a person that commits a sin, even if it's minor, but he's persistent in it, he's belittling the sin. And this is the problem. The person says it's a minor sin, and he treats it as if it's permissible. You get me? No, it's not permissible. It's still a sin. But it's just not as great initially as the major. It's a minor. So first of all, it becomes a major because he has belittled. That's what's actually major. Not the sin itself. The sin is the sin. It hasn't changed, even if you repeated it. Its size is its size. Its weight in the scale is its weight. But the belittlement of the sin is what is so heavy. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he says something very beautiful. He says, to the degree that the sin is small in your eyes, it becomes great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the degree that the sin is great in your eyes, it becomes small in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? That's why when some of the Sahaba, they fell in Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala an, when he committed fornication, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he came to us for the punishment, he had already made tawbah. Such a tawbah. And the woman as well, Al-Ghamidiyya, same thing. He said that she made a tawbah where it distributed on the people of Medina, 70 of them, it would have sufficed them all. And about Ma'iz, I saw Ma'iz swimming in the rivers of Jannah. It was only out of their piety, the heights of their piety, that they wanted to make a double confirmation and be absolutely sure they wouldn't have to face it in front of Allah, so they asked that the punishment be carried out on them. But their tawbah was enough to make their sin disappear, rather to turn it into good deeds. But nowadays, the major and the minor we consider minor. Perhaps we consider permissible because we don't even know that it's a sin. We've neglected learning our deen. And this is my intent tonight, to point the finger in that direction. There is no major sin with istighfar and no minor sin with israr, with persistence. And we said it becomes major for two reasons. One is because it's belittlement. The second is what? So what if it's minor? Minor on top of minor. Minor on top of minor. It piles up. What are pebbles made of? What are mountains made of except pebbles? The poet says, وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. Don't ever call anything small, because the mountains are from nothing but pebbles. One pebble next to the next, you have Mount Uhud. Look, Your heart is about the size of your fist, guys. Draw a circle on a piece of paper, the size of your fist. And walk out from today until Friday if you live that long. And with the thinnest point of a pencil you can find, every time you commit a sin, put a dot in that circle. What will your heart look like after a day, two, a week? Will it not be covered? And this is what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حيث أبو هريرة سنن الترمذي, إذا أذنب العبد ذنبا, when the slave commits a sin, نكتت في قلبه نكتة سوداء, a black dot is stamped onto his heart. If he pulls out of the sin, and he seeks forgiveness, and he repents, سقل قلبه, his heart becomes polished again. وإن تمادى تمادى, أو وإن عاد, and if he returns, it returns to being stamped onto his heart. حتى تعلو قلبه, until his heart becomes overwhelmed. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the seal that you read about in the book of Allah. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Then he recited the ayah in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. No, rather, why did they disbelieve? Because a seal has overcome their hearts because of what they used to earn, meaning sin upon sin. I believe it was Mujahid, rahimahullah, when he said, the hypocrites are those that will commit sins, one sin next to the next, and the next, and the next, until these dots, you know, if you have some water and oil, you put too many dots, they blend together. It becomes flush. Yes? This is what the sins do to the heart, wal-iyadu billah. May Allah polish our hearts and yours, Allahumma ameen. And permit for us a tawbah that we don't go back on, Allahumma ameen. So, Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. And forgiveness, the stipulation, the condition is what? You avoid the major sins. There's another hadith we want to hug the forgiveness with to ensure that the forgiveness is indeed attained. And this hadith was also narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an in Sunan ibn Majah and elsewhere that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. Perhaps a fasting person, he has nothing of his fast but hunger and thirst. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. And perhaps a standing person, meaning in قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, gets nothing from his standing except loss of sleep. Why? Why did this happen? And look at the disparity, look at the difference. One person gets forgiven for everything in the month of Ramadan. And one person, all he gets, he went hungry and he missed out on some sleep. I mean, he didn't even enjoy his dunya. He missed out on dunya, and Allah knows best about the akhirah. Allah knows best if he's going to have another Ramadan to make up for it or not. Why did this happen? Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he discussed the views on this issue. And he said, some ulama mentioned that it's because of riya, that he was showing off when he was fasting. And this view is correct. This view is correct. The person that shows off in any deed, doing it for the people to see him and praise him, that turns your good deed into a bad deed and places it in your scale of bad deeds. Understood? It becomes one of your sins. Your act of worship becomes one of your sins. Rather, it becomes one of the greatest of the major sins. Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that riya is hidden shirk. Right? It is a minor form of shirk. And that is the greatest form of major sins. It's the last step before disbelief. Minor shirk, meaning you're on the pale, on the brink of leaving Islam. That's why Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from his deep knowledge, he used to say, for me too. It's going to require a bit of explanation. He says, for me too, lie while swearing on behalf of Allah is more beloved to me than for me to tell the truth while swearing on behalf of other than Allah. Repeat it?
Yes.
I'll repeat it. He says, for me to swear up on behalf of Allah, swear by Allah in a lie is more beloved to me. I'd rather do that than to swear by other than Allah while saying the truth. Somebody explain it now. I'm exhausted.
It is a shirk.
Huh? Explain the two and compare them for me. Asif. You can do it. طيب أخي تفضل. فوزان.
It's
Abdullah al-Mas'ud.
He said that he'd rather stay away from committing shirk by associating other than Allah and lie on that while taking their oath upon Allah versus associating partner with Allah and committing the grave sin of shirk and saying the truth.
For sure. It's of the greatest major sins to swear by Allah and lie. By the way, there's no kafara for this, there's no expiation for this. Only tawbah for this crime. You know, when you swore and then you had to break the swear, you found out later that you had to break the swear, that's when you make kafara, for example. Alright? But when at the moment when you were swearing, you knew that you were lying, this is something else completely. It's beyond having an expiation. It's not that easy. It's of the greatest major sins. But it's not as great as shirk. Minor shirk. Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever swears by other than Allah has committed shirk. Okay? So he's saying, I'd rather commit this enormity of a sin than to swear by other than Allah. Even if I'm saying the truth. Because that's shirk. Is that clear? This ruins your deeds. Showing off is also a form of minor shirk. So it ruins your deeds. And of the proofs of that is Hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an. It's also in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And there's a reason why we're saying al-Tirmidhi, inshallah, we'll mention the narration in a minute. That he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very first to enter the fire will be three. But the other narration, the very first three to be sizzled by the fire are going to be a scholar or a reciter, and a warrior, and a charitable man. As for the scholar or the reciter, Allah will bring him forward and remind him of his favors to him. So he'll admit them. Cannot deny. He'll tell him, what have you done with it? He says, I have taught for your sake. Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, you have lied. And the angels will say, you have lied. You taught so that they would say how knowledgeable. Or you taught so that they would say, he's a reciter, he's a qari, right? And they did. I gave you what you wanted. You got it. I'm not going to cheat you. But you have nothing today. And he's thrown into the fire. Then the warrior is brought forth. And Allah reminds him of his favors over him and he remembers them. He admits them, acknowledges. What have you done? He said, I fought in your sake until I was killed for you. He says, you have lied. And the angels say, you have lied. You fought so that they would say how brave. And they said it. You have nothing today. And he's thrown into the fire. And the charitable man is brought forward. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given this man, the Hadith says, every form of wealth. Meaning he has real estate, and he has farms, he has cows, he has camels, he has horses, he has gold, he has silver, every form of wealth. And he reminds him of his favors over him and he remembers them. What have you done? He says, oh Allah, I did not leave any door wherein you love that it be spent in your sake, through it or in it, except that I did for you, oh Allah. He will tell him, you have lied. And the angel will say, you have lied. You did so that people would say, he's so generous. Say, how charitable. And they did. You have nothing today. And he's thrown on his face in the fire. So the greatest of good deeds. And imagine the recitation of the Quran. Every good deed. Every letter is how many good deeds? 10 good deeds. So he's pulling page after page. And everyone who's reciting after him gets the reward. And he gets a photocopy of it. All of that. Mountains of good deeds, nothing. Where did it all go? He was showing off. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala an, when he used to hear this hadith, this is the narration Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he used to cry till he passes out. And he would wake up, he would say, Subhanallah, these people wound up like that, then how about everybody else? This is the qari and the mujahid and the charitable person. And then he said, Sadaqallah, Allah has spoken the truth. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken the truth. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, he recited the ayah, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. Whomever sought out the life of this world and its glamour, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. We will give him the repayment of his deeds in it. He'll have that. Allah doesn't wrong anyone. He will give him the repayment of the deeds in it. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. And in it they will not be cheated. أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار. These are the people that will have nothing in the hereafter except the fire. وحبط ما صنعوا فيها. And forfeited is everything they did in it. وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. And false is all of their efforts. والعياذ بالله. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that's one of the opinions. And it's true, whoever is showing off and is fasting, he'll get nothing out of it but hunger. He says, but this is weak. Meaning what? It's rare. Why? He says, because showing off in fasting, the obligatory fast, is rare. This couldn't possibly be the meaning. Why? Because in Ramadan, especially, everybody's fasting. Right? Everyone knows you're fasting, and you know that everybody's fasting. Like, even if you say, I'm hiding my deeds, you're not allowed to hide the fact that you're fasting. Like, you're not allowed to put someone under the impression that you're not fasting. Because that would... You're supposed to look out for your own reputation, Islam, right? You're supposed to look out for your honor. This, you're showing that you're a fasiq. You're not allowed to do this. So Ibn Taymiyyah, this is rare. So there has to be another reason. He asks the question, why was fasting legislated to begin with? What are we supposed to get? What do the ayat and the hadith say we're supposed to get from fasting? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been prescribed to you, like it's been prescribed for those before you, so that you may attain taqwa. I'm going to leave it at taqwa in Arabic, because we're going to define it in a minute, inshallah, azza wa jalla. What's the importance of this taqwa? The month of Ramadan is the month of what? Quran, right? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down as a guidance for the people. Meaning the Qur'an is suitable guidance for all the people, everywhere, every time. But who will benefit from the Qur'an? These ayat are where? What surah? What surah? Shahur Ramadan and fasting. Surah Al-Baqarah. Go to the beginning of that same surah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is a book in which there is no doubt. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It's guidance to the people of taqwa. So the month of Ramadan, fasting was prescribed for taqwa. And the month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an wherein we're supposed to attain the taqwa. So we can benefit from the Qur'an. The Qur'an applies to all. But no one will really benefit from it except the people of taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa in a nutshell. You see it translated as the fear of Allah, or you keep your duty to Allah. And sometimes, because you're not going to define it every single occasion, you have to leave it at that. Like at the onset of the lecture, you always hear me say, right? Keep your duty to Allah, or fear Allah Azza wa Jal. The taqwa of Allah, waqiya, means to protect yourself. So to have taqwa of Allah means to protect yourself from Allah. Meaning you're afraid, right? Guard up. Fear that drives you to do what Allah commanded and stay away from what Allah forbid. This is what it means. It's not about crying or doing extra from something while leaving obligations from others. This is not what it's about. And the many definitions in the Sahaba there, all revolving around that main theme. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, the taqwa of Allah is fear of Allah the most great. And to act upon the book that he sent down. And to prepare for the day of departure. Abdullah al-Mas'ud said, the taqwa of Allah is to obey Allah and never disobey Him. To thank Him and never be ungrateful to Him. To remember Him and never forget Him. All of the same meanings. To fulfill the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. A fear that drives to fulfill the commands of Allah. This is the fruit of Ramadan. This is the fruit of fasting. And this is the condition to benefiting from the Qur'an. Of the most beautiful things you read that apply to our misunderstanding of what taqwa is. Or Jani puts things in proper light. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he's of the imams of the muttaqeen, rahmatullahi alayh. He sent a letter to one of his governors. It's a few lines. I'll read it to you. He said to him, rahimahullah, أُوصِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. This is the president sending to his governors, okay? The khalif. I'm entrusting you with the taqwa of Allah. فَإِنَّهَا الَّتِي لَا يُقْبَلُ غَيْرُهَا. Because it is that which nothing but it is accepted. You come to Allah in with taqwa, have a nice day. وَلَا يُرْحَمُ إِلَّا أَهْلُهَا. And no one receives mercy except its people. Allah Azza wa Jalla said what? وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا الَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. My mercy is wider than all things. I write it for those that have taqwa. وَلَا يُرْحَمُ إِلَّا أَهْلُهَا وَلَا يُثَابُ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا. And no reward is granted except on its basis. The acceptance of your deeds and the reward is based on taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa. He said to him, rahimahullah, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْوَاعِظِينَ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ وَالْعَامِلِينَ بِهَا قَلِيلٌ. And know that those that advise with it are many. People that give lecture about taqwa, right? And those that act upon it are few. The first half of our talk, major sins. إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And I'm the first of you. He says to him, and those that advise with it are many, and those that act upon it are few. فَأُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِطُولِ سَهَرِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي النَّارِ مَعَ خُلُودِ الْأَبَدِ. So I remind you, don't forget about how long the people of the fire stay up, because there's no nighttime, there's no sleep. Stay up in the fire, and that will go on for eternity.
فَإِيَّاكَ أَن يَكُونَ مُنْقَلَبُكَ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ آخِرُ الْعَهْدَ بِكَ وَانْقِطَاعُ الرَّجَاءَ مِنْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ.
He says to him, so don't you dare be a person that your very last dismissal, last time you are dismissed from between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be your end. Take him away. And it being your despair, when you know for sure then that there's no more hope, he says, wassalam, meaning salamu alaykum. The emir, the governor, imagine governors received the likes of this advice nowadays, right? He read the letter and he wrote his resignation. I quit. No way, I'm responsible for all these people and I'm going to ask about... He quit. And the letter went back that he refuses to assume any other position. When he finally met up with Umar Abdul Aziz, he said, what did you do? He said, the words you told me dislodged my heart. خَلَعْتَ قَلْبِي. You pulled my heart out of my chest. What do you want me to do? There's no way I'm accepting this position. So to be of the people of taqwa that really fear Allah, and who deal with this book of guidance, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, and as if it's a book of guidance, you take it as that, and you apply it. This is what the month of Ramadan does for you. How? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says, look, what do we have to do in Ramadan? We have to stay away from food, and from drink, and from intercourse. Right? With our spouses. In the daytime in Ramadan. These are what the desires, food and drink, desires of our stomach, and our spouses, the desire of our private parts, right? Yeah, these are the two most fundamental desires, most glued desires inside a human being, right? These are the very basics. Nothing does a human being desire more often and more strongly than these two things, the desires of his stomach and the desires of his private parts. He says, so a person that is able to manage that for Allah Azza wa Jal can manage anything else. This is training for him to fear Allah, because look, Ramadan's in the summer. Ramadan is next week, we're in the month of July, the hottest days of the year. You're sitting at home and you're sweating and the food is there and no one's going to see you and your wife is there and she's not going to tell on you. There's nothing left. The most basic desires, the easiest sin, nothing is left but the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it trains you upon that. Whoever can get through that, gets through dunya. Not my words. In Bukhari and Muslim, حيث سهل المعاد رضي الله تعالى عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. Whoever guarantees for me what's between his two jaws and what's between his two legs, I guarantee for him paradise. See, it's not my words. Between his two jaws means what? The tongue? Some ulama said the tongue. But it's more than that, because the hadith, other hadith say the tongue. But meaning anything that goes into your mouth or comes from your mouth, right? The things that come into your stomach, the things that you eat. This is another opinion of the ulama, and perhaps it's the stronger view. You guarantee for me what goes in here, and you guarantee for me what's between your legs, your sexual desires, I guarantee for you paradise. And the Sunan al-Tirmidhi, from Hadith Abu Hurairah, it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the greatest factors that lead to Jannah? He said, taqwa of Allah. Huh? Taqwa, Ramadan guys. Taqwa. He said, the taqwa of Allah wa husn al-khuluq, in good manners. They said, so what's the greatest thing that leads people to the fire? قال الفم والفرج. He said, the mouth and the private parts. You get through this, you get through everything else. So Ramadan, in reality, what's the point of Ramadan? Ramadan is a training course so that you can build your patience, you can build your strength, you can build your willpower. In other words, you can accustom yourself to worshipping Allah as if you see Him, and if you can't see Him, then He sees you. To be strong, to persevere through everything else. If you can stay away from the halal, then you can definitely stay away from the haram. Cold water, halal. And it's only haram for a few hours, you can even have it at night. But the person that doesn't get this message, he gets nothing from Ramadan. He doesn't get anything at all. I want to close with that, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Ramadan teaches you to be patient upon the rules of Allah Azza wa Jal in all the affairs. That's why, and there's a hadith that says fasting is half of patience. The hadith has some weakness to it. But when Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, the fasting people are those that get their reward without measure, meaning without limits. Or meaning I'm not telling you what's in store for them. Something special. Just like the hadith says what? Except fasting, it's for me, I will reward for it. Something special. This ayah, the vast majority of the mufassireen said, the sabirun, the patient, in this ayah, means as-sa'imun, the fasting. Because fasting and patience are twins. Fasting is patient. It just means hold back, hold on. Lughatan, even in language, that's what fasting is. Maryam alayhi salam said, inni nathartu lirrahmani sawma, falnukallima al-yawma insiyya. I have vowed a fasting for Allah. What kind of fast? I'm not talking to anyone today. I'm holding back my words. That was her fasting. So that is why a person gets nothing from the month of Ramadan. When he doesn't understand this, the point is taqwa. Fear Allah, stand by his limitations. Don't cross. Know your limits. But for example, when a person's sitting there in Ramadan with a cigarette in his hand, oh man, what's wrong? I can't wait till Maghrib. Akhi, you missed the whole point, man. You missed the whole point. Or every time we give a lecture on Ramadan, you get a question. Is it true that if a sister doesn't wear hijab, there's no point in her fasting, right? Sister, you missed it. And brother, you missed it. First of all, not wearing the hijab does not break your fast. Okay? I mean, you fasted that day. If everything else is in place, you fasted that day. But you're committing another crime and you missed the greater aim of the fast. Breaking the fast is by eating, by drinking, by having intercourse, by inducing vomit. Certain things that are known in the ayat and the hadith. Every other sin can ruin your reward. And can ruin the fruit, the real fruit of the fast. And by the way, we advise our brothers, don't tell your sister what's the point of you fasting if you're not wearing hijab. Tell her, mashallah, you're fasting, you love Allah Azza wa Jal. Huh? You should also wear the hijab. You should know that hijab is an obligation. But the person that does not understand this greater picture, then he has gotten nothing from the fast but hunger. And got nothing from the standing but lack of sleep. What's the proof? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, I have proof. The proof is in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Abu Huraira. See, we began at Abu Huraira, we ended at Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala an. May Allah be pleased with Abu Huraira. And reward him for everything he's narrated to us of our deen, Allahumma ameen. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, whomever does not abandon evil speech, foul words, وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ, and acting upon it, acting foully, وَالْجَهْلِ, and foolishness, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Then in that case, Allah has no need for him to leave his food and his drink. You missed the whole point. So for a person to get from Ramadan what it was legislated for and given to us, granted to us as a gift for, you need to pull all these hadith together. And I hope and pray that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted me the ability to make this clear to my brothers. And forgive me for my shortcomings or my inability to explain. May Allah Azza wa Jal permit for us to meet the month of Ramadan and empower us to make this a different Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and the sins of our parents and the sins of all the Muslims in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make this a month that we come out of it better than we went into it. And grant us a repentance in this month of Ramadan that we never go back on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength and the determination to become imams for this deen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive for us what He only knows about us. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for what only He knows about us. Allahumma ameen. May Allah cure the diseases of our hearts and conceal our faults from the people. Allahumma ameen. And make the best day of our lives the day that we meet Him. Allahumma ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم guys.